comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
Come on, man. You know I only surf Transformers sites when there's girls around so they can see how cool I am.
Nerd Radio starts now.
It's like the good, the bad, and the ugly with locked eyes.
Oh, for fuck's sakes. Hey, it's Nerd Radio.
On iTunes and on the podcast page where you can find us. It is Jefferson Moore.
End who's that Mexican standoff. No way.
Yeah, it's Mr. Albeck starting the show.
Damn show already.
Albeck starting the show. My name is Chuck Bean. Jefferson Moore, the one that was having the Mexican standoff with.
Yeah.
Because
episode of Nerd Radio brought to you by the Red Lantern Ring. Just start talking, for Christ's sake!
Because last week you got me.
I did get you.
Last week I started talking and you were like, hey! So.
Well, this we'll set the scene here. We're getting ready to start the show. I never start the segments and I'm fine with that. So I step back. I'm all the way back here, off mic.
Yep.
And then these two are just looking at each other.
Just locked eyes.
And then Jefferson even like leaned back like, all right, I know why this is happening. Like, let's just get this thing underway. And then they're still... Someone had to do something.
You did. I appreciate that you jumped right in there.
Oh, just in case you're editing. Hey, it's the Nerd Radio Podcast.
Yeah, right there.
Hey.
Thanks.
Do it
for,
all nice and genial now.
Thanks for logging in. Guys, I'm going to start with bad news.
Oh, no.
I got some bad news. So I told you guys last week we talked about the fact that we had something in the neighborhood of like 14,000 listeners, something like that, for one episode. That was called The Bacon in Our Hearts. So last week,
I wanted to know about this.
Okay, last week I titled the episode Bacon Test.
Yes,
because I just wanted to know if let me pull it up while I'm talking here. I did find out why The Bacon in Our Hearts had so many listeners.
Did you?
Yeah, I forgot to upload audio to iTunes for it, so it was a goof up in the program. That was like, there wasn't any audio, so it was like creating this loop when people would look for it.
So our most downloaded show is due to the fact that there was no show to download.
Yes, exactly.
Only on Nerd Radio.
Only on Nerd Radio.
Gentlemen.
Nerd Radio.
All right. Yay.
All right.
Yeah, so there you go. Bacon Test, according to the analytics, still had zero downloads. Which is that's impossible! People subscribe to this show! Good Lord, man.
Oh my God, we're literally talking to nobody!
This is stupid.
Yeah, my God. Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't understand.
The internet is weird, man.
I couldn't explain to you why failure just makes me so happy when it comes to Nerd Radio. I enjoy it so much. I want people to listen to the show. I love doing the show.
Yeah.
And even though Jefferson and I butt heads, I like these two guys.
Right.
So I enjoy this. But for some reason, when you get a zero download analytic on an episode, it brings me so much pleasure. I can't even describe it.
The hours of work I put into the show.
I know. And that is where I do
nobody.
Feel bad. Because Jefferson and I breeze in here, lay a load of crap on this digital recording. And then
I have to re-listen to it to make sure nobody swore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No one's listening to this except for Chuck, who has to listen twice.
And that's the thing. Like I said, people subscribe. I know that that's wrong. I know it.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Wow, that was the most genuine laughter I've ever heard from Al, ever.
Let's talk about the good stuff this week.
I thought that was the good stuff.
No, it's been a huge week, man. The Captain Marvel trailer dropped on Tuesday morning on Good Morning America. Awesome looking, man. Super awesome. And they let you know right off the bat that this movie takes place in the 90s because she crashes into, and this is a little foreshadowing for later on in the show, a blockbuster video. In the trailer, this doesn't take place in 2018, folks. And my favorite thing that I saw somebody on Twitter say is that she punches an old lady.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely fantastic for comic fans knowing exactly why she punches an old lady. And for everyone else going, she punched an old lady!
It was a shapeshift, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
That's what I thought.
But like Amy has no idea why she punched an old lady. And I'm not telling her. He's going to have to wait till March to find out or listen to this show. But apparently. Apparently no one does.
Oh, no.
Just me.
Twice. Nerd Radio, number 9 billion on iTunes.
Jeez. The other bit of big news that that went on this week, and you guys are going to have to indulge me for a second because I realized that I've been turned into a Nintendo fanboy by my recent purchase of the Switch. But the Nintendo online service finally launched as of about 8 or 9 o'clock last night. It finally launched, which meant you finally had access to the Nintendo Entertainment System online, which is an app that you download for it that comes with 20 old Nintendo games that you can play offline as long as you log in every 7 days. Okay. Otherwise, it's not usable. But it's got save states in it, just like the NES Classic that came out a couple of years ago, something like that. I feel like the NES Classic was leading to this.
I can believe that, yeah.
So far, you know, it's got Super Mario Brothers 3 on it. It's got River City Ransom, the original Double Dragon on there, Donkey Kong, Mario Brothers, the original Super Mario Brothers. A good mix of original Nintendo games and more on the way. I cannot believe the amount of people on Twitter that are upset about this service.
Really?
About the Nintendo online service. Like, the online service itself is $3.99 a month, or you can pay for a whole year for $20.
So what's the big complaint?
The big complaint apparently is that on the Wii U, you could access the online pretty much for free and play all the games you wanted for free or something like that. The big complaint is that they're charging for it now, even though they're giving you, like I said, they're giving you the Nintendo Entertainment System. They're giving you saves to the cloud. So if something happens to your Switch, that, you know, say if you have to buy a new Switch, you can pull your saves back down from the cloud, which is kind of cool. Doesn't work for all games. The majority of the people who are complaining are players of Splatoon 2 because you now have to pay in order to be able to go online and play Splatoon or Mario Kart or, you know, all the games, Smash Brothers when it comes out later in the year, that kind of thing. And they're just upset that they have to pay. And I'm like, I've been paying for PlayStation Network and Xbox Live for years. $60 a year.
Right.
$20 is $4 a month even. Like, that's a drop in the bucket, man.
Yeah.
$4 a month for access to a Nintendo emulator.
It's a comic book.
Yeah.
Interesting, yeah.
I don't know. It's a difference of mentality, or maybe it's, look, I understand. It's the kind of thing, and that's why I wanted to talk to you guys about it. It's the kind of thing that when you buy a new system, like, it's the coolest thing ever. Like, I think we've all probably experienced it throughout our lives where it's like, maybe with me and Al, it was during some of the older systems, like the PlayStation and the Sega Saturn. Console wars, where it's like, whichever system you bought is the better system.
Yeah, of course.
Kind of thing. And it's the mentality, it's the brand loyalty.
Right.
And it's the mentality of you kind of get fanboyish when you spend $200 or $300 on a piece of equipment. And you're like, well, I hope it's the best thing because I just spent a lot of goddamn money on it.
Yeah.
But I will freely admit that the Switch has turned me into, like, a reformed Nintendo fanboy because I'm just like, this is so fun. Oh, my God.
That's good to hear, though, because I feel like Nintendo's just kind of fallen short with their last. I mean,
yeah,
people did have fun with the Wii. I mean, Wii was fun, but
everyone did have a Wii, too, which was interesting.
Yeah, even I eventually bought a Wii.
I never had one, but I played one.
Yeah,
you know, but it was all the motion and the capture and all the way. It was a totally different way to play.
Yeah,
yeah.
But you're playing baseball and you're actually swinging a thing, or you're playing tennis and you're, you know.
And a lot of people had fun with it, but it was not in there with PlayStation and Xbox. Like,
yeah,
not even close. Wasn't even part of the conversation.
Like I said, it's strange to me to have the disconnect to people that are like super down on the Switch. Having had one and like playing the Super Mario game, which is fantastic.
So would you say that you're you've got all the consoles covered pretty much at home?
I don't have an Xbox One.
I've got
a PS4 and I've got I still play my PS4.
Yep.
You know, pretty consistently. In fact, I've had to start changing my mentality to the fact that, well, I can take the Switch anywhere. So if I'm at home for a couple of hours, I really need to be playing something on the PS4 because I can play the Switch someplace else. It'll be no problem.
Ken just walked by the studio and flipped me off through the door.
It's just an average week.
Just an average moment in my life.
The other thing I wanted to bring up is they had their...
I don't care.
Did you? Oh, at first you're like, oh, I'm like, Jefferson, did you not know how their relationship works?
I was just going to say, I think we just named the episode Pity from Jefferson.
There you go. All right. Fair enough. Let me write that down. Pity from Jefferson. While we're talking about the Switch, I want to talk about they had their Nintendo Direct video last week and announced a whole bunch of stuff that we can look forward to in 2019. They're bringing, so let me run all this stuff by you and you guys can tell me if you care or not. They're bringing a whole bunch of digital board games to the Switch. Settlers of Catan, Pandemic, the Lord of the Rings card game, which is now kind of a, it used to be a collectible card game. Now it's just kind of a you buy it all in one box kind of card game.
Okay.
Those are all coming to the Switch. Square is bringing 6 different games to the Switch in 2019. They started this week with the Final Fantasy 15 Pocket Edition. I don't understand why that's a thing. If you're going to pay 15, I don't know why you would play it where the characters are super cutesy. Right. But they're bringing Final Fantasy 7, Final Fantasy 9, Final Fantasy 12, and 10 all to the Switch.
Huh.
One of the mics is going real weird.
Yeah, I'm hearing that too.
Yeah.
You gotta get it. That's when Jefferson left the show.
Share a mic, man.
Gonna get real close to you.
There you go. But they're bringing.
Okay, it's too close.
But they're bringing. Was,
All right, cool.
We made physical contact. I don't think we can continue the show. This is it. This is the final Nerd Radio.
Oh no. They're bringing a whole bunch of Final Fantasies to the Switch. They're re-released in Final Fantasy.
That's cool.
That affects me because I was under the impression they'd never re-release 12. So I went and got a PlayStation 2 copy a couple of weeks ago for like $3, and now there's going to be a super fancy copy that I could play on my Switch.
It's always how it happens. It's like it's just long enough that they're like, we could re-release it, but it's just long enough for Chuck to want to buy something.
Yeah.
I think it's happened multiple times so far.
I think it has. Yeah. We've got Animal Crossing's coming out for the Switch. People are super pumped for that. They're also including Isabelle from Animal Crossing and Smash Brothers.
Oh.
to coincide with them making the Nintendo Entertainment System app for the Switch, they're making Joy-Cons, the little controllers that go on the side, that are essentially the size of the original Nintendo controller. But you can only buy them if you are subscribed to the Nintendo online service. You can only get them from Nintendo directly. They're not going to be in stores. But it looks
clever.
Really dumb when you connect them to the Switch. Like, apparently you can't play Switch games with them either. Connected to the Switch, they're strictly for playing the Nintendo games. But meh, yeah. There's going to be a new Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe. It's a reissue of the Super Mario Brothers on the Wii U, which a lot of the games seem to be like the Donkey Kong Country Amy loves is a reissue of Donkey Kong Country from the Wii U. They seem to do that quite often. Like, hey, nobody played this Wii U game, so let's put it on the Switch now. They're also doing a Yoshi game, which looks super cute. And what was the last thing I wanted to tell you about? Oh, Katamari Damacy.
Oh, shoot.
You played that, right?
I did, yeah.
Al, do you have any experience with Katamari Damacy?
Absolutely none, no.
Okay, so it was a game on the PlayStation 2 where you were this little tiny dude and you would roll a ball around and it would pick up stuff. And you start out with like picking up, you know, like pens and erasers and glasses and stuff like that. And then the ball eventually gets big enough that you're picking up people and cars. And then you're picking up buildings. And by the end of the game, you're just picking up countries off the planet.
It sounds vaguely familiar to me.
Yeah, it's the soundtrack is very catchy. The gameplay is really fun. They're bringing the original Katamari Damacy. They're not making a new one. They're reissuing the PlayStation 2 Katamari Damacy for the Switch next year. I'm excited. I'm ridiculously excited that it's the original and not just a new game because the original was so good. I can't wait.
Video game nostalgia is kind of huge right now, though. They're really cashing in.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and let's get to that. That's the last thing we need to talk about because you just made a blog post about this before we came in to talk about Nerd Radio.
I mean, it wasn't much of a blog post. It was like, hey, here's the details and a link to someone who knows a lot more.
Yeah.
But just saw that Sony announced that they are now doing like one of those throwback classics games, like the plug-and-play digital thing. So they're doing the original PlayStation.
The PlayStation Classic. Supposed to come with about 20 games.
20-game bundle.
Among them is, Tekken, Jumping Flash, Wild Arms, which was like the original RPG on the thing. Final Fantasy VII will be on it.
Yeah, right.
Which is amazing and fantastic. It makes me wonder, now that I have the Super Nintendo Classic, how much space is on that thing? Especially if you're putting a 3-disc game like Final Fantasy VII on there. How much space is on that thing? That they can put, but it also, it's interesting.
How much space does that take up, though? these days.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I have all of, like, pretty much the entire Final Fantasy catalog on my Vita.
Yeah, for sure. But it also, I'm interested in, because the PlayStation is one of those systems that seems to be beyond the line of being able to emulate properly, with the exception, obviously, of like the PlayStation 3 and the PlayStation Vita.
Right.
But even then, there's some games that they've never released because they're just like, we can't get this thing to work. So I don't know. I'm interested. I'm excited. I hope they make enough of them. I hope it's not a kind of thing like it was with the NES and the Super NES, where people just, I'm going to buy 20 and then there's not going to be any and I'm going to spike the price.
Right. Now, do you think your Super Nintendo one, do they offer downloads to expand that?
Nope.
So really, you just pay the money and you just get...
Yeah.
That's kind of a bummer. That's the one thing I don't like about this whole model.
Yeah, well, I think these things, especially with the advent of the Nintendo Entertainment System app on the Switch now, like, I think these things are almost strictly for people that just don't have internet access to, you know, to just get these games off of, which... I'm sure they're few and far between. None of them are listening to Nerd Radio. But then again, people with internet, so it doesn't matter. People with internet access apparently aren't listening either.
Well, who doesn't have internet access nowadays, though?
You got me.
I feel like that's a pretty niche market right there.
I agree. Or people with really bad internet access, I would imagine.
Right.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. Maybe that's because, I mean, Nintendo is a Japanese company. Maybe it's more of an issue... No, well, that doesn't make any sense at all, so never mind.
Right.
I got nothing.
Yeah. Are you interested in a PlayStation Classic?
You know what? If I had the money for it, maybe.
Yeah.
But no, not as much, really, because like, I'm more about the newer games.
Right.
I know that kind of dates me a little bit, but, you know.
No, not at all. That's your niche.
Yeah.
I'm super classic, old school game. Al also plays mostly old games just because he's catching up. And Jefferson plays a lot of new stuff.
Yeah. I heard about this new Pac-Man game. Looks sweet.
Hey, yeah.
Awesome. Finally going to set down Pong for a minute. Yeah,
yeah, right.
Yeah. Anyway, but no, it looks like a December 3rd release on that. And
nice.
I think $100, I think, is the price tag.
Yeah, I thought I saw like $99.
Yeah.
Something like that. Going to have an HDMI cable with it, so it's going to it's gonna look super pretty.
And two classic controllers.
Yeah.
The original ones before the analog sticks.
Before the analog sticks, which is super cool. I dig that little attention to detail for it as well. What was I just about to ask you?
Yeah, where'd you get that hat? It looks dumb.
That was not it.
You sure?
That was not what I was about to ask.
I thought it was.
Damn it. I don't know. My mind is gone. All right, maybe I'll think about it later on the show, and then I'll ask you out of context.
You notice you're waiting until Jefferson waits till I don't have the microphone anymore to start talking trash. Yeah, okay. I see how it is, you little jerk.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
All right, Nerd Radio comes back in just a minute.
You're talking turtle.
And you're a human nerd. Now hit it.
We're back with more Nerd Radio.
Run for your life.
Hey, man, look at me rocking out. I'm on the radio.
All right, welcome back to Nerd Radio right here on Rift 2. Coming to you live. From,
I didn't know where you were going with that level.
Yeah, no, you never know. That's the thing. I used to be real, real confident about, because as the saying goes, the louder you say something, the more true it is. So I used to be real confident about telling you that we were live, whereas or yelling, I'm great at radio. Now I'm more like, oh, I'm great at radio.
Yeah, oh.
Because I'm not real confident in it anymore. I've had some rough overnights where I'm like,
yeah,
what am I doing here?
It's now... I radio occasionally.
Sometimes I'm radio.
Sometimes I'm radio.
It's Mr. Chuck Bean and Mr. Al Beck. Jefferson Moore joining us momentarily, I'm sure. But while we have the...
We think.
Yeah. Well, we have the opportunity here. Let's talk some comics. Jefferson usually, you know, that's not his thing.
No,
but that
no.
That is definitely ours.
You know, we have Jefferson and I trade off on what we zone out on.
For sure.
You know?
Yep. I wanted to bring up to you because I saw this looking through like solicits for The Flash. You're still reading The Flash, right?
Yes.
They're doing a thing with The Flash that they have done with the Green Lanterns years ago where now there's not just the Speed Force.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's going to be like, it's called the Strength Force and the Sage Force, which is intelligence. And I don't know what the Still Force is. I'm not quite sure with that. But there's a storyline going over the next couple of months where Barry is going to meet different versions of what is essentially the Flash for these different forces.
Yeah.
Like the version, I think in November's issue of the Sage Force, the intelligence one, is not ironically Gorilla Grodd.
Yeah, well, he's
super intelligent, super ape with telepathic powers.
Sure.
And then there's a new character called Powerhouse, I think, in the December issue that's going to be like the Strength Force representative.
Yeah. I'm still a little bit behind on my comics.
And, right.
But where I'm at, we're just starting to get into all this.
Yeah, well, I knew there was the last story arc was, the Flash War?
Yes.
Or something, so Barry was fighting with multiple people representing the Speed Force.
Yeah, and it was, well, I mean, it was a conflict between himself and Wally, mostly, you know.
Right.
But, yeah.
But I thought that was neat.
Yeah.
Because I don't read the comics very often, but I thought, much like the first time you hear about, well, you know, there's the Green Lantern, but then there's, like, the Red Lanterns and the Yellow Lanterns. And you're like, well, what do the different colors represent? And people tell you, like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. That's cool.
Yeah, it really does. And one of my favorites, Jeff Johns, is largely responsible for really fleshing out the Green Lantern world.
Yeah.
You know, and really introducing, because obviously you had the green and the yellow.
Right.
Let's go red,
let's
and
red
he kind
lantern.
Of explored the emotional spectrum.
Let's make Star Sapphire a violet lantern.
Yeah.
So that we've got to, you know, all the different emotional spectrums, which is pretty, pretty cool.
Yes. My favorite, of course, being orange, because Larfleeze.
Oh, yeah.
Is a wonderful character.
So I would imagine you love the Red Lanterns.
Well, I relate more to them. I'm not as greedy. I'm not greedy enough to be. Andy's here.
Hey, there he is.
And he hurt himself opening the door.
You always forget.
That hurts so much.
I know. Every couple of weeks or something like that, you forget how heavy those doors are.
He's got a headphone in, so he's not even listening to us. He knew we were talking comic books. He was like, man, it's time to go make a podcast. I better listen to something I like.
He knew when he was walking in. He's like, they're not going to be talking about anything.
Yeah.
And so
it was just inopportune that he didn't have a chance to take it out yet before I saw it.
Honestly, though, yeah.
Hey, welcome.
You're wearing headphones. Well, that's not.
I'm listening to Nerd Radio in my headphones. How about you, Chuck?
Yeah, no, that's what's going
and
on right
Jefferson?
Now.
Jefferson?
Monitoring some levels.
Hey, sometimes you're not.
Wait a minute. Hang on a second. This is the first time in how many years has Nerd Radio been on the air?
Okay.
However long, 200 and something episodes.
Yep.
That I have ever seen Jefferson wearing headphones during the show. For any reason.
It's just because I don't have a quarter-inch adapter, all right? Come on.
Well, I guess we know what to get him for Christmas.
Yeah.
If I had one like that I can reliably use, I would be listening right now.
I feel like getting him a box of like 20 quarter-inch adapters. Just a little box. It's got a bunch of them in it. Like, Merry Christmas, Jefferson.
It might cost 45 cents.
It might.
Honestly,
they're not that expensive, I suppose. Now we're talking about some comic books, some Flash stuff. Speaking of comics, there was a story, let me pull it up here, that I wanted to talk to you guys. By the way, welcome back to the show, Jefferson.
Oh, thank you.
Always good to see you. So, over in London, in one of their neighborhoods this past Monday and Tuesday, they brought back Blockbuster Video.
Yeah.
however, there was one catch.
Yes.
The only thing you could rent from Blockbuster Video for 2 days straight was, or I guess buy, was Deadpool 2.
Okay.
There was a bunch of Blu-ray and DVD releases of Deadpool 2. It was a marketing thing for Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
Exactly. They had a Deadpool guy in Deadpool costume there and stuff. But hey, Blockbuster Video.
You know what the funny thing is? The funny thing is that we may never know for sure, but the guy in the Deadpool costume may have been Ryan Reynolds.
Isn't that fun?
You know, like,
you never actually know.
It probably wasn't, but what I do like about that guy, and it's so weird to me, if you went back, I mean, 10 years ago and said something I like about Ryan Reynolds, what?
Yeah.
The fact that I would say something like that.
Yeah.
But no, one of the things I really like about that guy is he would do it, and he might never tell anyone.
Yeah. He's kind of fallen in love with being the Deadpool character so much that he just keeps a guy. He stole a costume from set.
Yeah.
And, you know, you never know where he's going to pop up.
Yeah.
And it's got to be fun, too, to, like, put the mask on and get recognized as Deadpool, but have people that you could probably look in their eyes and go, am I talking to Ryan Reynolds?
Well, it's like there was that story about Hugh Jackman showing up to a Comic-Con dressed as Wolverine.
Yeah.
And no one recognized him because he was too tall to be Wolverine.
Remember there was a San Diego a couple of years ago where what was the actor that was Walter White put on one of those terrible rubber masks of Walter White and walked around?
No way.
Nobody knew. Yeah. Nobody. Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
He would every now and again, because they shot video of it, every now and again, he would pull the mask up and go, hi. And people go, oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bryan Cranston.
Yeah. I've heard a couple of different guys that'll do something like that.
Yeah, there's always somebody at San Diego that pulls that kind of goofiness.
I think it was at San Diego that Hugh Jackman did that. He told that story on Conan or something like that. That's where I heard it from.
That would make a lot of sense. Well, I want to bring up a couple of things that are happening in comic books this week, real briefly.
Yes.
The final issue of X-Men Gold.
Okay.
This week, issue 36, I believe.
I didn't realize they were wrapping that up, too.
X-Men Gold and X-Men
Blue was going away. That's kind of the extermination thing that's going right now, right?
Gold and Blue are going away, and then they're taking a month to take a breather, and then in December, Uncanny X-Men comes back with three issues in that month, and I think after that it goes monthly. I don't think it's going to be weekly for a super long time.
Okay.
But,
is Red sticking around, or is that...
That's the big question mark. I have not heard if they're going to kind of like shuffle that book off to the side and use Uncanny X-Men just for all the X-Men stuff or not. But I would imagine. I don't know. They also announced this week that they are bringing back the X-Force book. So it's, you know, it's 1992 all over again. All you're missing is X-Factor.
Right.
But the big thing in comics this week is the release of Batman Damned number one. By Brian Azzolaro and Lee.
I've been seeing some advertisements
Lee
for this.
Bermejo. It's an extra large, as you guys can see. You guys at home can't see this, but Jefferson and Al, you can see it's an extra large kind of magazine sized book. It's $6.99. It's going to be a limited series, and it's part of the DC's Black Label thing that they're launching, where the books are supposed to be a little bit more dark, some alternate reality stuff, a little bit more like the
way to explore the.
The White Knight book that came out earlier this year, when that comes out in trade, it's going to be under DC's Black Label.
Okay.
The idea behind this book is that the Joker is dead and the Batman can't remember if he did it or not.
Huh.
And the thing that really drew me to this book is it's Brian Azzolaro doing Batman, which he's done before. But Brian Azzolaro, in my mind, his name is ultimately connected with my favorite run of John Constantine's Hellblazer in Vertigo. And Constantine is in this book. There's a big supernatural element in this book. Constantine is in this book. The Enchantress from the Suicide Squad movie, she's in here, Dead Man. So there's a lot of supernatural people running around, and it's neat. It's the way it's painted is really cool looking. The thing that everybody was talking about when some of the advanced copies came out last week on social media is it's the first appearance of Batman's naked penis.
What?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's a naked Bruce Wayne scene where you just get a little bit of an outline of some bat penis.
Interesting timing for you to hand that over to Jefferson and I.
Yeah, well, I thought
you guys are going to want to see this.
I thought you might want to see it. You might be interested. Nah. That's what Amy.
Nah, bat dong.
Yeah, exactly. It's something Amy had posted in her as a hashtag. Also, I think it was like Bat Dick Energy was one of them too. So just a funny thing, but it's pretty. It's as much as we hate when comics are more than $4, it's worth every penny.
I'm going to preface this by saying the context in which I mean what I'm about to say is the comic book. It's a lot larger than I was expecting.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Okay. You're not talking about any particular member of Batman in that comic book, book itself.
No, I'd seen an advertisement for this and I just assumed it would be a standard, you know, but it's like magazine size, as you said. I mean, I was curious too. $17
or $6.99.
Oh, okay. I'm partially blind. That's small print.
Yep.
I was like, oh my God, are you serious?
No. $6.99.
Still though, $7.
Yeah.
You want to take a look at the bat dong there, Jefferson?
No, I'm good.
Are you sure? You don't want to see it?
I'm good.
I know that was my. That was the first thing I did was start flipping through paper. Where is it? That's all anybody on my Twitter has talked about for a week. Where that? Oh, there it is. Oh, that's not as impressive as I thought. So, whatever. He just got done crime fighting and being in a big leather suit. It was cold outside.
He was crime fighting in a leather suit. Oh, don't we all, though?
So that's going to wrap up our comics for this week, talking about some Bat Dong.
Mm.
Hit us up on our social media at Nerd Radio 101. Let us know, what did you think of the Bat Dong? As well as what comic books you're reading and what you think the comics were reading. Hit up comicshoplocator.com to find the comic book store near you. You guys want to add anything?
No.
Nerd Radio comes back right after this.
Bat Dong.
Bat Dong.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This just in. Flash. Attention, Mr. and Mrs. America and all ships at sea. Nerd Radio is taking the country by storm.
This is Nerd Radio.
Well, welcome back to Nerd Radio here on Riv 2. It is Jefferson Moore.
And it is Chuck Bean.
We are here, and Al is not here. He stormed off in something of a rage.
That's typical for Al, though.
Yeah, I'm trying to pinpoint a time that he did not run off mic in a rage.
Right, but he's always laughing. It's a weird rage.
It is a weird rage. I don't have those kind of rages.
He's angry, but he's also having a good time.
Yeah.
He enjoys being angry, I guess, is what we can collect from that.
He's a weird dude.
Jefferson, have you checked out the new American Horror Story yet?
No, shoot, that's the apocalypse one, right?
New season started last week.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, I'm already, like, episode one, I'm in.
Because sometimes with American Horror Story, it's like, okay, I like it, but it's not, I don't love it yet. You know?
I got through one episode of last season, and I haven't watched any more of it.
Yeah.
The cult season.
Cult.
Yeah. I'm sure I'll go back and watch it streaming somewhere. But no, this one, like I said, like right from the get-go, I'm like, this is great.
Yeah, I was immediately not as intrigued by the cult one because of its political nature.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a lot of room in politics for horror, you know?
I don't know. It can be pretty scary.
Yeah, but a different kind of scary.
Not enjoyable scary, for sure.
Exactly, yeah. Like, it's a little too real. It's like, oh gosh, yeah. That guy's our president.
Can hit a little too close to home for you. A
little bit, yeah. So I haven't watched that one yet. Plus, it's not on Netflix yet, so, you know.
True enough. No, but I mean, we're kicking the spooky season off a little bit early here in September.
But you know what is going to be on Netflix?
What's that?
It's actually something that is quite the source of apprehension for a lot of fans. Basically, Netflix just picked up Avatar The Last Airbender for...
Oh, I saw that!
Yeah.
You know I have never watched Avatar.
You've never have?
Never seen
Avatar. Oh, shoot, you have to.
I've seen the James Cameron Avatar movie, but I've never seen any of the cartoon.
We don't talk about that. That's,
I've never
that's
seen the cartoon. I never saw
affiliated.
The... Was it M. Night Shyamalan that did the Avatar The Last Airbender movie?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I've never seen any... Like, I you know...
Okay, if you say that name to any fan talking about that thing that was released, I think every fan of Avatar The Last Airbender is going to be a little bit upset with you. So,
I'm sure. Yeah. Much like Dragon Ball fans do not want to talk about the live-action Dragon Ball movie.
That's right, yeah.
It's just not good. But hopefully this will...
Well, I kind of like led you guys on, if you haven't heard about it, because... It's live action. They didn't pick up the cartoon to put on. They're making a live action.
So is it you watched some Avatar last night?
Yes, because
you're super pumped about this. Is this going to be kind of like the Full Metal Alchemist live action movie that Netflix picked up earlier?
You know,
this year?
No, that's interesting too.
Is it going to be kind of a retelling of the story, or is it a continuation of what you've already seen in the cartoon?
You know what? I'm pretty sure they're going to like retell it just based on what I've seen so far. Because just based on how the cartoon goes, you can't, I mean, Appa, the big flying bison, he is in the trailer, or I don't know if we have a trailer. I just saw like a picture.
There's a trailer for it.
Yeah. But he's in it, which means that it is going to be a retelling because as far as I know, I'm not sure how they would be able to tell Aang's story, from that perspective. So,
okay.
But you know, remember we recently got Bleach. I saw that when I was flipping through.
Yeah, that was another one they made a live action thing of.
I'm really dubious about that. Although I think that it's going to that would be better than our Death Note remake.
That was the one I was trying to think of what the other one was that they made a live action that people were not. Because I thought by and large that the Full Metal Alchemist people really enjoyed the live action show.
Movie. That wasn't bad.
Right. And, you know, I know they made a live action JoJo's over in Japan, but I've gotten a chance to see it yet. But it's another one of those things that's like, I think JoJo's fans were pretty all right with it. They thought it was pretty all right.
It basically looks like a bunch of people in cosplay going ahead and doing stuff.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's essentially just a fan-made film that looks, you know.
It looks like this Last Airbender thing. I'm reading about it while we're talking. They got the original co-creators.
Yeah,
and
that's
they got
a thing.
The original composer to create the musical score for the new series. So that's cool. So it's going to have the flavor of the thing you liked.
That's why I think that a lot of us are, I say us, talking about Airbender fans.
Yeah, you consider yourself a Avatar The Last Airbender fan.
I would, yeah. I have the DVD collection and everything.
Even if you don't know whether to say Aang or Aang.
It's Aang. I just said it the wrong way initially. I apologize.
The other
fans.
Airbender, I was going to say the other Last Airbender fans, they're ready to lynch you now.
I know. I really do love the show. It's amazing. And which is why I'm like so apprehensive. Like, I really want it to be good because the cartoon was amazing.
Right.
All the characters, like, they're so well written.
I was going to say, when it didn't technically, like, it went off the air, but then there was, what was the subsequent series that came out for it?
Legend of Korra.
Yeah, there was a Legend of Korra series, and that only just ended a couple of, a year or two ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, it's another one of those series that's been kept alive through comic books.
Yeah.
For so long that, you know, if you're a Last Airbender fan, there's always been something for you to experience.
It's true,
which is kind of cool.
Yeah, and honestly, with that series, because if you don't know anything about it, there's
different dudes that mystically, they call it bending, different elements.
Mm-hmm.
They're essentially, if you think of Storm from the X-Men, she would be the ultimate airbender because she, you know, does weather. So it's like the air and the water and the whole thing.
The earth and the fire. Yeah.
Yeah, there's the firebenders and the earthbenders and stuff like that. Are they all from different, different countries?
Yep, they're all from different tribes. And the avatars, the one person that's allowed to learn all disciplines of bending, it switches between each tribe, each incarnation of the airbender or the bender.
Are the tribes all at war?
Avatar, damn it.
I'm imagining.
No, the Fire Nation's a bunch of freaking jerks.
I'm trying to figure out, there's always a bad guy.
Yes.
In any particular story or narrative, like, who's the bad guy?
And that's the really cool thing about that entire series is like in the first entire book, where Aang is learning waterbending, you're not entirely sure who the bad guy is because there's this guy named Zuko who's Fire Nation and is trying to hunt down the Avatar. But it's basically he's not really that bad of a guy and he's gone through redemption arcs and everything. And you really only meet the actual villain at the end of the first, like, entire season, basically.
Huh. Well, look, and I've seen before, too, you referenced it as the first book, that the story is separated into books.
Yeah.
Are those essentially seasons?
Yeah, like, they're
season
seasons,
one is book one, season two is book two.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
And yeah, but basically, obviously Avatar: The Last Airbender is following Aang, who's an airbender.
And he ends up being the one that can do all four things.
Well, he is the one, and you know that from the very beginning.
Oh, cool.
And Korra is following a waterbender, which means that the next one, I believe, would be an earthbender.
Right.
And if they had another show about some kind of earthbender, I would totally watch the hell out of it.
You would be right in on that. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that they haven't, considering that, you know, like, it's, I wouldn't say it's huge, but it's big enough that you have a constant fan base. It's a little bit like my Transformers comics.
Yeah.
You know, like, it may not be changing the world, but there's enough of you that there's enough business to keep doing this.
Definitely.
I'm surprised that
yeah.
they keep going back to, like, the original story, like they did with the Netflix show. Let's go back to the original story instead of continuing to go into, I would imagine Korra takes place in a different generation from
it's
the way
generation,
you described
yeah.
it. Yeah. So it, you might see some of the characters from the original, but they're all going to be older
mm-hmm.
now, kind of thing.
And that's the cool thing about that show.
I always
you're like,
thought,
oh, shoot, that's Toph. It's great.
I always thought they should do that with X-Men. It's not how comics work, of course, or with Spider-Man or something like that. I always thought that, like, at some point, Storm and Wolverine and Cyclops and everything like that, there should be new version. Like, there should be a new person that has Storm's powers, and Storm should just kind of fade in the background and be one of the teachers.
That'd be cool.
And let this new person have adventures, kind of thing. But it's, like I said, it's not how comics work. So
yeah, no.
I think it's pretty cool The Last Airbender works like that.
Mm-hmm.
How many, do you know how many episodes were in these seasons? If I wanted to jump into Avatar The Last Airbender, like what kind of commitment are we talking about here?
It's around 20, I want to say.
Yeah.
And they're really short though. They're, you know, I don't even think they're full 20, like. They're not even
they're
a
like
full
half
hour.
Yeah, they're like half hour episodes. They were on Nickelodeon, so, you know, they're like 22,
exactly, yeah.
22 minutes or something like that.
But yeah, no, seriously, amazing show. Like, you really do learn to love the characters, and they're so well written that they talk, like, you know, sometimes dialogue just seems kind of canned. Like,
sure.
Oh, I'm going to do this thing because this is what I will do, you know? They're saying things because they need to.
Yeah, it looks like there's three seasons and mm-hmm. they're about 20 episodes apiece.
Yep.
Hmm.
Yeah, it just seems really genuine. And it's just a really good show. You really should watch it.
All right. Well,
I'm actually shocked you haven't already seen it.
No. Well, you know, I'm the jack of all trades nerd, and there's only so much time. So
it's true. It is true.
So I fall off the planet, and you know, I've got my favorites. I've got my Ninja Turtles and my Transformers and stuff like that. So that eats up my time.
Yeah, I'd say so.
There's a new Transformers cartoon coming out, and I haven't even watched that yet. Like, I think the first three episodes are up on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I need to find the time for that. I've been too video game minded lately. You run into that, don't you?
Oh yeah, totally.
Because like you enjoy, you know, playing D&D, and you enjoy magic cards, you enjoy video games, you enjoy watching shows and stuff like that. Like some, you go through periods where it's like I'm really into doing this one thing more than I still do the other things, but I'm really into doing this one thing.
Yep, that's exactly it, yeah.
And that's where I've been most of the summer, is I'm really into playing my video games. I'm really trying to finish games and kind of move them off the plate so I can get to the next one. I'm going to put this on my list. I'm going to put, is this on Netflix?
It's not. And that's one thing that fans have been so upset about for so long, because it's like, you know that the fans are there. You know people are going to watch it. Why haven't you done this thing yet?
All right, well, my next look is Hulu.
Nope.
Avatar.
Do you think I haven't checked?
Well, I can watch the James Cameron movie if I want to.
No, don't.
I don't. I really don't.
No.
Man, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird. I would think that Netflix is going to pick it up and put the show on their streaming service. That's what happened with, I'd forgotten they were remaking Danger Mouse. Do
yeah.
you have any context of Danger Mouse whatsoever?
Not
okay.
really, no.
Quick story, because we're running long here. When Nickelodeon started, when I was a wee lad and cable was in its infancy,
whoa.
Nickelodeon would come on the air and go off the air at like 7 o'clock. And it wouldn't go to Nick at Night. It would just go off the air at 7 o'clock because that's mm-hmm. how cable worked. Like
yep.
HBO wouldn't be on the air in the middle of the day. It would come on the air at 7 o'clock and then be on until like 2 in the morning and then go off the air. Because this is, you know, cable's just becoming a thing. Cable
right.
television. When Nickelodeon started, they didn't have a ton of original programming. So most of their programming was cartoons or live action shows or stuff that they would pull from other countries that we didn't get here. Huh. You know, like if you were a little kid, you got to watch Sesame Street on PBS or Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood or something like that. If you were where we are, you would get some stuff from the CBC on their channel or something like that, or stuff from like Bozo the Clown was from Chicago, was filmed in Chicago. So you would get WGN over, you know, the regular TV. So they would have shows like Pinwheel or something like that. Danger Mouse was a cartoon from England about a James Bond like mouse and his hamster sidekick, Penfold. And Danger Mouse was a little bit like Sherlock Holmes. They lived in a mailbox, the big red mailboxes they have in England.
Yeah.
They lived in a mailbox that was right in front of Sherlock Holmes' apartment.
All right.
And they would go on adventures. They fought I can't remember. I can't believe I still remember all this stuff. they fought a toad named Silas Greenback, and his lackey was like a crow or something like that. It was the highlight of my day when Danger Mouse would come out like 6:30, 7:30, like just before they would go off the air, and it was the highlight every time. Hey, Kyle, come on in. What's going on, Kyle?
You're talking about Danger Mouse.
Danger Mouse.
Do you know Danger Mouse? I was just explaining to Jefferson. Danger Mouse was a cartoon from England that they used to play in Nickelodeon when it started.
Oh, God.
But they remade it. And when they remade it for Netflix, I was scrolling through Netflix just looking for something to watch, and they have the originals on there. And I'm like,
shoot.
Ah! That's why I still remember it, because I watched one.
There you go. Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, I remember when I was a wee lad, and I would watch Danger Mouse. That's it. That's my sidebar. Avatar: Last Airbender sounds great.
Yeah. I'm so amazed that you haven't seen it.
Are you an Avatar fan, Kyle?
It was cool when I was a little younger, but I was like growing. Like when that came out, I was into more. I can't even remember at this point. So old.
You're so old.
But he was talking about Danger Mouse. Jeez. Yeah.
But Kyle, you're so old. All right. So that's what you can take away from our show this week, is that Avatar is going to be great. And Chuck is a Nintendo Switch fanboy.
Actually, I don't know if it's going to be great. I want it to
you
be great.
You want it to be great. You hope that it'll be great.
Yes.
It effing better be great.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for Nerd Radio this week. Thanks for stopping by. Thanks for hitting us up on the podcast page and on iTunes. Thanks for hitting us up on our social media. I expect you already have, so you better. We're at Nerd Radio 101 on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Talk to you next week. See if you'll do it this week. Say goodbye to the people, Jefferson.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Goodbye to the people, Jefferson.
Thank you!
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Have a great weekend!
Golden Radio.
I know!
See you later, nerds.
Hey, we're out!
And we can say it again, but I'll sound a little canned.
Right. It has been a week.
Whoa, look at that week. It was a week last week, and it is a week this week. Guess what's going to happen next week? It'll be another week.
If you live that long.
Yeah.
Whoa, is that... Okay. What's the name of our assassin? Is that one you need to be worried
about? Yeah, next
Gerald
week, Gerald
assassin,
is going to be paying you a visit.
What did I even do? Just making bad week jokes? It wasn't even a joke. It was just...
No, it wasn't. It felt like, I mean, it wasn't the...
Yeah, calling it a joke is being very kind.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. For not
like
saying...
Chuck's one murdering over there.
He's murdering my...
Nah. That's the sound Gerald makes right before he kills you.
It'll be the last sound you hear. It's pretty damn intimidating right there.
A little bit.
I'm a little scared right now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.